Welcome back to The Weekend Show. I'm Patty Martin, Lynchburg College Communications Professor Mike Robinson in today to talk entertainment news and new movies. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Always fun to have you back. We can just keep you busy because it feels like the movies are just... what is it, summer? Is this just release, release, release?
That's what summer's all about.
It's all about the movies. Mm-hmm. But this one, the first one we want to talk about, one a lot of people have been talking about, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Now, Anthony...
I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it, but ready to? Excited about it?
Kind of excited. From what I've heard, it's like it's not as good as Captain America, but it's kind of the same feel from what I've heard from people. I don't
okay.
know.
See, all and all I have to compare it to is the old TV series.
Right, yeah.
Linda Carter. Which people love.
Yeah. They do.
They uh-huh. love that. And when you look back now, if you catch it someplace, you're like, wow, that was pretty... low budget.
It's very late 70s.
Late
70s.
Yeah,
it's that little wave of superhero shows that hit in the 70s.
Okay, so kind of remind me, what is the idea behind Wonder Woman? Where are her powers from? Was she born into this? Where did this all start?
Okay, so Wonder Woman is a really fascinating case study in superheroes because she starts in a slightly different way than most of the characters at the time. Wonder Woman traces her origins all the way back to what we call the Golden Age of comics, this big period just before World War II, right at the start of World War II, where all these superhero characters just sort of started popping up in the wake of Superman's popularity in 1938. So Superman was a complete surprise. It's one of those things where it seems obvious to us, but nobody at the time when Superman came out thought, well, this is the next big idea. But once these guys with capes and underwear on the outside started flying around and doing things, right? And then Batman in 1939. Once these characters started hitting, characters like the Submariner, Human Torch over at Marvel, or what was Timely then, started clicking, and we started just getting this abundance, right? Success breeds imitation. That's what I'm always saying. Success breeds imitation. Wonder Woman was actually created deliberately by a guy named William Moulton Marston. And he was a psychiatrist, and he thought that what was really missing was a female archetype mm-hmm. in all of this. Now, Marston's an interesting guy, and he's got an unusual life, and there's a really great book out there by Jill Lepore. It's called The Secret History of Wonder Woman. That goes way into more detail than mm-hmm. I'm going to go into here. But Marston's idea was, a lot of people saw comic books and would later see comic books as very bad for children. Marston saw this inspirational possibility. So he created this female character to stand up and be this archetype for young women. There was, there really just weren't very many female superheroes at that point, but also just for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so Wonder Woman is from Paradise Island. Her, like every superhero, her origins shift and change over time. But originally she's from Paradise Island, where all the Amazons live together. Steve Trevor crashes on the island, tells them about World War II. We have to help. She dons that wonderful patriotic outfit, right? So in that way, very much like Captain America, and goes off to help America fight the Nazis. And she arrives late 1941, early 1942, just as we're coming off Pearl Harbor, just as we're really spinning into the war, and just becomes a sensation. Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman are the only characters that stay in pretty much continuous publication up through today. Some characters go away, but they've always been around. So she's part of what DC Comics likes to call the Trinity.
Well, and they've really had to adjust her storyline, obviously. We're not in World War II anymore. So
yes.
Now she, World War II's over. What is she now? Just to save the world from evil?
Actually, in the movie, they've done something slightly different. They've pushed her backstory back to World War I.
Oh, so this is set back okay.
Yeah, it's set even earlier, which initially surprised me, and being a bit of a fanboy nerd kind of unsettled me. But it actually works really, really well. Why would they do that?
Why do you think they go back to World War
I? I haven't heard anybody say that yet. Uh-huh. My only theory is that people are a little more sensitive nowadays. When I was a kid, we had army men and we had our Nazi vehicles and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think people are more worried now, and so they're very afraid about the possibility of selling toys with swastikas on them.
Mm-hmm.
In the Captain America movie, right, they were very careful to make sure that you knew that the Red Skull was Hydra. It's Hydra, Hydra, Hydra. Not Nazi, Hydra, Hydra, Hydra. Mm-hmm. In fact, Hydra even doesn't like Nazis. They're a threat of their own. And then you can sell toys because they have the Hydra emblem on them, and there's not going to be any public outcry. So mm-hmm. that might have been it. I don't know. Yeah. But that's just speculation on my part.
Did you know, Anthony, that it was actually not? I just assumed it because I'm, again, going off of the series, which was based in the 70s. It was done in the 70s and based in the 70s because they, you know. Did you know it was set in the World War One? I was thinking it was going to be a modern day
storyline. I don't know much about the new movie, but so, I didn't know it was set back then either.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that might surprise a lot of people because knowing the movie's out, I had not heard that at all.
Yeah, it worked. It works really, really well. I mean, Wonder Woman's a great character, and Wonder Woman has this sort of interesting dichotomy to her. So on the one hand, she is a character that is about spreading understanding and, you know, everybody should learn to get along and really is actually anti-war and anti-conflict. But like any good superhero, in fact, far better than most superheroes, she can really kick butt.
Yeah.
And so she really is a fantastic action character as well. Gal Gadot, who plays her in the movie, really has sort of found a nice middle place for this. I'm very, very excited about this. You know, she was the best part of Batman versus Superman anyway, but I'm really excited about the performance here. And you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a really good movie. I took my son to see it. He enjoyed it. I took my wife to see it. She enjoyed it. A lot of people are very excited about it. It took Wonder Woman, you know, 3/4 of a century to get onto the big screen.
And now finally.
And people are very thrilled. Right. You know, it's her moment.
Uh-huh.
And they've done a really good job. This is the most successful live action film directed by a female director. And it's actually the most successful female superhero movie, which that's a low bar.
Yeah.
But that's really exciting because what that means now is that we can move a lot of great characters. There's a lot of great characters both at Marvel and DC, a lot of great female characters. We can start moving them into their own movies, and we're finally done with this myth that people won't go see films like this. Wonder Woman's made $325 million here and like $660 million overseas. That only cost about $150 million to make.
They covered their costs.
So yeah, they are doing great.
They're good.
Yeah, they're already working. They're already talking about Wonder Woman too. So
all right, and before we move on to another couple movies people talking about right now, you did mention this when we were talking about Wonder Woman, how you talked about these superheroes that we saw develop over the years, and one you mentioned, Batman. And since you were here last, Adam West,
I know,
who I consider, I guess, the original Batman. When I look back at, you know, you look back at the reruns of those shows, because that was just such a great kind of funny show in a way. It was funny, it was slapstick. You know, what was it? That was just a great show, and he was such a great Batman, wasn't he?
Oh, I loved Adam West. It's heartbreaking. When you're Batman in your childhood, like he was my first live action Batman, you know, and we grew up watching that, and that's what Batman was. I always describe that show as the best and worst thing that's ever happened to Batman.
Very campy.
Yeah, exactly. It really wasn't Batman. It was representative of the way Batman had been in the comics for a while, but was steering away from it. And at that time period in the comics, you know, or a little bit after the show ran from 66 to 68, they really pushed for a darker, grittier, more, you know, Batman that we're used to now. But at the time, this lighthearted, fun Batman was what we had. And it certainly saved the character from obscurity. Batman was not, nobody was talking about Batman. That's the hard thing for people to remember, that, you know, 50 years ago, nobody really cared much about Batman.
So the show was not that popular?
Oh, the show was incredibly popular.
Okay.
But prior to that point, the comics were just kind of doing okay, and Batman didn't have a huge place. One of the best ways to describe this, which is really sounds kind of silly, they develop a kid's cartoon in the 60s, right? And they say, we want to have a Superman cartoon. What character can we put with Superman that'll match that kind of popularity? Aquaman. So it's the Superman Aquaman hour, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, nobody thinks for 2 years to put Batman up there until after the live-action Batman becomes popular enough that they start pushing for a cartoon Batman.
Yeah.
So Adam West, you know, in many ways, this was the best and worst thing to ever happen to him, too, because it really stuck him.
He really
was trapped in that role, but he seems to have been really good-natured about it, and he found a second career sort of being himself, being this kind of campy, over-the-top, but you all know that he's doing it. That's hard to do. It's tricky. It takes a certain kind of genius to play the part in that way. And so, you know, he was able to kind of maneuver that so that, you know, the last 10, 20 years, he's just been everywhere. You know, he's like on Family Guy being Adam West. He's on Fairly Odd Parents being Adam West. So that was really, really great and really fun stuff. But
well, he had such a distinctive voice too. Oh, yeah. I think that was, you know, as much as you, I can still picture him, you know, when you think, when you see these reruns and, oh yeah, he looked like what you think Batman would look like. But that voice, you could hear that on, you know, out of context on some radio, you're like, that's Adam West.
And that was what was so great about him. And that was the key to his performance. And what was really great about that show was when I was a little kid, I took it deadly serious. You know, when I was a little boy, oh, Batman's in a trap. I got to watch this next episode. He's not getting out of this alive. You know, what's going on? The fights, you know, those great crazy live action fights with all the pals, the biffs, the boobs, right, onomatopoeia floating around. And then as you get older, you start to realize that there's this whole other level and there's this whole other subtext to it. And that Adam West, other people too, but Adam West is really carrying that. And so there's all these sort of crazy jokes. I love any scene between him and Julie Newmar as Catwoman and that sort of sexuality that is there, but you only get it because you're an adult and you realize what's happening. So if you haven't watched that show in a long time, it is worth going back
it's
and looking at.
It's out there somewhere. I think it's in probably reruns on one of those channels. Some of the nostalgia or something channels like have that. It, yeah. Those have it. That's great. We have about, before we have to take a break, we have about a minute or two to just real quickly run over Pirates of the Caribbean and Spider-Man. Spider-Man, the other one.
Spider-Man. Whoo, boy. I am very excited about Spider-Man. Very thrilled. This is going to be interesting because this is our third Spider-Man out, right? So we've got Tom Holland. We've already seen him in Captain America: Civil War. They're not going to reboot Spider-Man again. We're just putting Spider-Man where he belongs in high school, having superhero adventures. This is really, really going to be fun stuff.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see the Vulture as the villain. It's Michael Keaton, right? So there's our Batman connection.
Yeah, so that was our segue. Yeah. I knew the other day. I was like, somebody big is in this. Who is it?
Yeah,
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, now he's the Vulture, and that's really great. That's a very great old Spider-Man villain. Really sort of epitomizes that great 60s idea of don't trust anybody over 30. All of Spider-Man's villains are my age, but Vulture's
coming
way
out,
older.
Right?
That comes out on the 7th.
On the 7th. Okay, so you still have time to see that. And then Pirates of the Caribbean, this is what number is this? Does anybody even know? The fifth one.
Evidently not.
I mean, I guess not. Obviously, somebody doesn't think so. I just keep thinking Johnny Depp is, you know, like 20 years older than he was the first time.
Yeah.
Have you seen the others?
I haven't had a chance to go see this one yet.
But any of the others, were you
fans?
Oh,
fan? Yeah, I've seen them all.
And they're good?
I've never seen any of them. I think the first one was probably the best one.
But I've always had fun with them.
Yeah. And I've always had a good time with it. I like, you know, I'm a sucker for just big, crazy sword fights. And I like pirate ships zooming around, blasting the heck out of each other. So, yeah, you know, I never thought it was a terrible, terrible time. You know, are they my favorite movies ever? No. But, you know, it's not Star Wars to me. It's not these Marvel superhero movies to me. But no, I've had a good time with it. I've enjoyed it. I have nothing to say. I haven't even had anybody tell me they've seen this movie yet to tell me whether it's any good or
whether
not.
Whether it's good. Yeah. Well, if it's a hot day, you know, going to the movie theater, there you go.
Yeah, the AC's on.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Lynchburg College professor Mike Robinson. We'll be right back with more of The Weekend Show.